I'm your average action movie survivor. When I'm not busy trying to avoid massive superhero battles with people getting thrown through walls or dodging giant robots about to step on me, I'm listening to the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. Be sure to check out Part-Time Fanboy at parttimefanboy.com for somewhat weekly podcasts and reviews about various fanboy-related subjects. Also, be sure to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Do it now, because the Robopocalypse is coming!
Part-Time Fanboy.
Part-Time Fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
Fanboy.com. Let's begin this monstrous podcast, shall we? Shall we begin? Shall we
begin? Sure. With Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Dun dun dun. Yes, this is the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. I am Christian Horn. I am on the line with my good friend Paul Edwards, and coming out of podcast retirement for this episode is our good friend and awesome storyboard artist and painter, Leod Goldberg. Welcome back, Leod Goldberg.
Yay! Yay. Don't call it a comeback because he never left.
It's great to have you back, Leod. I love having you on the podcast, so thank you for joining us. I think last time you were on, we were talking about Spider-Verse, right? Enter the Spider-Verse.
Yes,
which was an excellent movie.
Fantastic movie.
Yes. But we're not here to talk about Spider-Verse. We're here to talk about giant fire-breathing lizards. And what's very interesting is that this is the sequel to the 2014 Gareth Edwards directed, Gareth Edwards, I believe, Godzilla movie. And since then, we've had the release of Shin Godzilla, which was an excellent movie. But I actually re-listened to the episode of the 2014 Godzilla movie that we did. And boy, did I hate that movie.
Yeah, we did.
Hated that movie. Like, I was like, I think that movie, Godzilla, is actually has the distinction of being the only movie that I've ever, like, really shit-talked about on this podcast. Usually we try to just cover things that we like, but I was so surprised by how much I hated it that man, I dropped an A-bomb on that thing. Yeah, I have not revisited it.
Christian, that just gives it more power.
Yeah, you're right. We want to suck the power away from that Godzilla movie. But this Godzilla movie, for me anyway, was like a 180-degree turn. This was
really a whole 180 degrees.
Yes, a whole 180 degrees. I'm like hesitating to say that I loved it, but I really enjoyed the time that I had in the movie theater with this. I saw it on a huge screen and I sat like towards the back of the theater so I could take it all in. And, I have to say, like, I don't know about you guys, but, like as a fan of like old Godzilla movies, like this movie for me was just like, it gave me what I wanted. You know what I mean? Pretty much like from a Godzilla movie. You know, I mean, I was telling people at work today, I was like, look, it's not like, you know, Lawrence of Arabia. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, as far as like giant monsters throwing down and crazy stuff like that, I came out and I was like, boy, did I have a good time watching that. How about you guys? What are some of your thoughts? Initial thoughts?
Well, I will go as far as to say that I did love it. There were some moments in there that I was just, you know, almost on my feet because I loved some of the kaiju stuff, you know, so much. Were there some subplots that I could have done without? Yeah, probably, but I feel that way about every Godzilla movie.
Sure.
You know? So I was writing with somebody earlier about it, and I was saying that I think I might even appreciate some of that other stuff more on repeat viewings, because I'm definitely going to see it again, because, like, wow, like, talk about, like, state-of-the-art monster effects.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. 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 There was definitely things where, like, I mean, I compared it to the last Godzilla movie I had to, because it's sort of like a sequel, but it's also sort of like a sequel to the last Kong movie that came out, Skull Island. And like this for me, I mean, you know, the weakness of the Godzilla movies is that the human stuff is not what you're there for. You know what I mean? You're there like, so the human stuff is usually kind of goofy, kind of dumb or silly or whatever. And you want to see basically monsters blowing stuff up. Like that's what you're there to see. And that is what this movie gave me. I mean, there were definitely human stuff in here. And there was a little bit, maybe too much in the beginning. It took a little bit too long to like get to where I wanted to go at points. But once it kicked in, I was like, God damn. I was like, all right, here we go. How about you, Liad? What did you think of Godzilla, King of the Monsters?
It was an enjoyable movie, but I am not with you guys overall.
No.
Like,
it was enjoyable, don't get me wrong, it was fun. Definitely agree that like the human stuff was really problematic and goofy, and like the lore that they're trying to build around it, I had a lot of problems with that. And I didn't think that the monster fights were all that compelling, to be honest.
And
half the time I'm sitting there in the theater going, that's not how that works. That's not how that works. I know that we need to suspend reality, obviously, giant monsters, but they were really focused on visuals and were willing and compromised, like a lot of things that just for visuals and for the narrative of like the lore that they were trying to build, that you're just like, that doesn't really work, but okay, I guess, kind of thing.
Well, so my question to you, Liad, is like, how much of a Godzilla fan are you? Like, did you enjoy these growing up? Or
fair enough.
Like,
I am not a huge Godzilla fan. I'm not a hater either. I just didn't grow up with it. So that's definitely something that I don't come with. But like, Pacific Rim, to give the you know, contrast, I enjoyed a lot. I did grow up more with more of the giant robot stuff, but the fights and everything were really good and compelling. Here, it didn't feel like that. There was too much cutting away to the human stuff, and then the actual monster fights, I mean, yeah, they crushed some stuff and that was kind of cool, you know,
like Washington DC.
Yeah. Boston.
But there wasn't a lot of in the fights, like if you really break down the fights have a, you know, structures to them, and like you want to build up the tension and build up the tension, and they did do that. But it just didn't feel like they did that enough, because it kept cutting away, I think, was the problem.
Oh, that's so funny.
And then it wasn't distinguishing enough between, like, what is actually happening. Why is he suddenly getting the upper hand now versus then? Like, there were a few moments, but overall it felt, I don't know, disjointed as far as that goes. And then he spent a lot of time napping, so there's that too.
Yeah, but no, I mean, that's the thing, is I felt what this really did well was, I mean, it carried, because the last Godzilla movie, the one that I hated.
Oh, yeah.
Just you barely saw any of it.
Well,
and I
sure.
I thought this.
Compared to that.
Well, yeah, anything compared to any Godzilla movie, except for the Matthew Broderick one, compared to that is, you know.
Well, that the problem with the first one is that, like, literally, anytime something was about to happen, they did cut away.
Yeah,
like they,
yeah. Right.
They absolutely cut away. It's like, okay, oh yeah, by the way, he destroyed this island, an island in Hawaii. You know, we'll show you a couple of news reports of that. You know?
yeah.
You know, and this movie, I thought they did a good job of, like, making you definitely, it dropped me back into that world that movie created. And that's where I thought, I mean,
I agree with you on that.
And the interesting thing too, is like all the call outs to like the classic Toho movies, you know, this movie was told from a child's perspective because most of the child, you know, most of the Godzilla movies are told from the perspective of children. It had the twins, you know, they worked the twins into the thing, you know, there were like, I felt like there were just the right amount of like call outs to the super fans, you know, in this one, without it being like too over the top.
Yeah.
What was funny was the theater I went to see it at had this, we got there early and they had this thing that went over like the history and the lore of Godzilla.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And the different movies and background and all this stuff. So at one point in the movie, like I said, I'm not a huge fan, but at one point in the movie when the general or someone was like, "We've developed a weapon," I'm like, "I know what this is," you know, but only because I just saw this thing that talked about it. But they really did bring out a bunch of callbacks, and that was really good.
Oh, it was
like
great.
I said, I'm not saying that the movie is bad. I enjoyed it. I didn't love it like you two.
Me, it was just like I thought that it struck a really like once it got moving, like there was a lot of like there was a little bit of human stuff like in the beginning that I was just like, eh, you know, like the whole dad and the mom and their divorce was just so, and the dialogue that was like tagged onto that was so like, really, come on, like, you know, as soon as they go get the dad because the wife and daughter have been kidnapped, and he says a line like, "I should have been there with them," and I was like, dude, what did you pull that out of like the basic screenwriting like playbook?
Don't you like the way they turned that around?
Well, yeah, I mean, I that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think in the beginning there was a little bit of that too much, and it took a little bit too long to get going, but I think this movie struck like a really great balance between seeing the fight from the perspective of the humans, like, oh crap, we're gonna get crushed, you know, and them sort of escaping in ridiculous over the top ways, which, you know, there are a lot of action movies that kind of do that, like Michael Bay movies or whatever, where you just kind of like roll your eyes. But this for some reason watching this movie, it just seemed like a lot of like roller coaster fun. And then seeing the fight from the perspective of the monsters, like I thought there was just such like a really good balance of that. And I just got caught up in it. Like, and you know me, I'm as cynical as they come. Like I've seen a lot of movies just like you guys, it doesn't necessarily always take a lot to impress me because I like different kinds of movies and different budget kind of movies. But this sort of thing, you know, in the beginning of the movie, I was like, uh-oh, like what am I in for here? Because they were starting to get into that family drama thing and the kidnapping and the scientists, you know, talking all. But by the end of the movie, I was like, yep, nailed it. Like giant freaking monster fight that makes no sense. Giant, how, you know, plots with humans filled with like scientific gobbledygook that, you know, Star Trek nonsense that makes no sense, you know, and, you know, people screaming their heads off and like a level of destruction that has no logic attached to it whatsoever. I mean, it's so funny that like in the beginning of the movie, you see like the humans debating, like, can we live with these things? And like, by the end of the movie, I'm like, no, like, I'm like, no, we can't live with these things. Like that's insanity. Like, because at no point, like, it's funny because I don't think, you know, at no point in the movie did they ever convince me of like sort of like the protagonist argument, which is like, there will be a balance and, you know, we can live with them. And
oh, well,
we'll be
the
their
whole,
pets. And I was like, oh, my God,
that they're trying to the whole lore that they're trying to develop of like, oh, these are the balancers of nature and they're trying, you know, and they're trying to bring back nature and blah. It's like, okay, that's all just total nonsense. Like, he's nuclear powered, but
it is nonsense.
He's supposed to bring back nature, and
it is
somehow,
nonsense. But
somehow
it's,
he like promotes growth.
But
dude, you don't They're gods. They're gods.
It's not even that.
Why is it nuclear power?
It's so funny though, but it's not even that. It's the fact that it's like 60s, 70s comic book nonsense. Like,
yes,
it is so awesome.
Cool. It's now been combined with sort of this cool Lovecraftian kind of thing going on with like the prior civilizations and everything. I'm really kind of digging the way that they're starting to integrate the Kong Skull Island stuff with the Japanese, this is one weird cinematic universe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I like about it.
Like, out of all the, and me too, because it's one of those movies that's just sort of not afraid to be like sort of just weird at times.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, this isn't going to make sense, you know, but like, trust me, it kind of, in a way it does. I mean, just, man, like when the kaiju, when they finally start like releasing,
yeah,
you know, I mean, my God, Rodan, like, seriously, yes. I cried a little from Rodan because it was just like, it was this beautiful giant firebird that's been nesting inside of this volcano for like thousands of years, and like, yeah, now it's finally free, you know. It was magnificent, you know.
And I love that Rodan is Latinx Latino.
Well, yeah, because it ties in with the, you know, with the Quetzalcoatl, you know, and the feathered, you know, gods. I mean, it's like it made total sense there too, you know. I felt like the monster, at least the sort of the named personality monsters, you know, they all made sense, you know.
Yeah.
Some of the unnamed, you know, filler monsters, you know, some of their designs a little like, I was looking at that, I'm like,
yeah.
But then I'm looking like, but then I look at the Kong monsters and I'm like, okay, that's how you're tying them in visually with what's going on. So I'm enjoying the whole sort of world building process that they're doing with this series of movies.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, like, Ghidorah for me was just like, you know, Monster Zero. I was just like, oh damn. Like when he breaks out of the ice, like the first time, I was like, that thing is badass. Like, I mean, he always was supposed to be like this giant, like badass, like crazy looking monster. But for the first time, like, I was just like, and he's, you know, the lightning breath coming out of his mouth. And I was like, it's funny because Liad mentioned Pacific Rim, which is a movie that I really, really enjoyed. But it's like, to me, this is very much sort of like, almost like prequelish to that, where it's like, this is the craziness that ensues that makes sort of like it felt very much to me like a prequel to Pacific Rim. And I think that, you know, excluding Shin Godzilla, because it's sort of like, that's sort of like a political commentary and a very fun movie in its own way. But like, as far as like American kaiju sort of monsters, like, I felt like this to me held up like to Pacific Rim in a way. It's very different. It may not be as skilled in its structure as Pacific Rim was, but this thing is like, what I loved about it is that it just embraced the chaos. You know what I mean? Like the craziness of like once it starts moving, like it's just like, oh my God, like it doesn't let up really. You know what I mean? And the tension just keeps building. And that's what I liked about it. Even in sort of like the dopey human scenes, which I felt were really well acted. You know, to me, I felt like a lot of the human scenes where they're talking about the plot or like things that are going on were like, you know, once the scientists and the military sort of get involved, like I was in a way of like when I used to watch Star Trek and they would just be like talking about like dilithium, you know what I mean? Where I was just like, okay, yeah, sure, fine, whatever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And, you know, to speak to Liad's point about like the mythology and stuff like that, it's so funny because in the last movie, I felt like that was so like ham-fisted and just like, what? Like, he's like this giant, like, eh. And in this movie, I just ate it up. Like, I bought it completely. Like when they take the sub and go underneath and like Godzilla's sort of hibernating from his ass kicking. And I'm like, this is like, and it's some sort of like Atlantean, like ancient society. I was like, I you know what? I should not like that. Like, I should not have liked that. And I was like, I love this. I love it. I was like, I love it. Like, this is great. Like, this is great. He's like from some ancient society and, oh, look, hieroglyphics and, you know, paintings.
You know what?
This
know
makes
what
no
makes
sense, but I love
see,
it.
See, though, that makes me want to see Conan versus Godzilla.
I thought you were going to say Aquaman for a minute. Oh,
Aquaman.
Thank God.
I have not seen Aquaman yet. No,
we won't cross those two cinematic universe streams.
No, but I would love to see the Avengers versus Godzilla, like in the old comics.
Oh, yeah. That'd oh, yeah, man. I remember that was a terrific property.
I have those comics, yeah.
Yeah. Did you read Shogun Warriors? As well.
Yeah, I have those too. Yeah, those are great.
That's a lot of fun. It'll be interesting to see what they do with, you know, certainly with this universe, because I mean, dude, they could literally do a Mecha Godzilla movie. You know, they could do
like, that might be the in the next one or the one after that. Because
well, yeah, you've got the
they have Ghidorah, the head,
right, the
yeah.
Ghidorah head. You know, and you had at one point they. You know, gave Ghidorah a robotic head, and you know it's
oh, yeah.
Like I mean, you could do so many crazy things from here, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, again, like seeing like the other ones too. I'm like Rodan, you know. I mean, what would a Rodan movie look like? You know,
yeah.
What would you know? Yeah, there. It's really interesting. It'll be interesting. I mean. Dare they try a Mothra movie? I don't know.
I don't know. How would that work? Like, I mean, the Mothra callback that you guys talked about, that you talked about earlier with the twins, like just having that for like the 5 or 10 minutes, like in there, I was like,
Yes. Oh,
this is so great. And it's great because it's like they're twins. They weren't necessarily in the same room. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But then they start talking about like her family was, and they show the original actresses, right? From the original
right.
Mothra and like the picture. And I was like, oh, this is great. I mean, you know, I was literally waiting for them to come out and sing to Mothra, and I would have been like, yes. I've been like, fine. Or like use some kind of like song, you know what I mean? But like the thing that I really, really ended up enjoying and I'm surprised at myself, I loved the concept of the orca thing. Like I was like, oh, what a great idea. Now, the scene when they first release, you know, Mothra and the little girl runs in and she's like in the lab and stuff like that. There was so much stuff like that where it's like, no, kid is not allowed in the lab.
I was right there. Same
again,
thing.
But you're right.
OG in the original Godzilla movies, there was always a kid who was like getting involved. And, you know what I mean?
Getting
it
into trouble.
Always happened. Like for me, that was part of like what makes it awesome. And I got to say, like in the classroom, it's really fun to hear like all of my kids talking about like, okay, who do you think would win in this fight? Godzilla you know, and they're just, like to hear like kids talking about this stuff again, like it's just like, oh, that's kind of gratifying.
Oh, that's so awesome. Like, I mean, I was so surprised. Like I was so surprised by it's so funny because usually I can be very nitpicky about certain things. I mean, you guys know, but like once they like introduced that sort of orca thing and the, when the human sort of plot like turned for me, was when the wife releases Monster Zero, like when he comes to rescue them and the girl walks towards the dad. And she's like, no, she's like, come with me. And she stops and she walks back. Like for me, I was like, oh, I didn't see this coming. I did not see this coming. And, you know, I mean, that was very much a surprise for me. And that's when I started really, because like at first I was thinking like, wait, did she just like second guess and be like, no, did she just like think twice about like what the terrorists wanted, and in that moment did she make the choice? And then, but as I started thinking, you know, she releases this monster and there's like at least like, I don't know how many, 10, 20 Marine Special Forces guys that are killed. And I was like, there's no coming back from that. Like, you know what I mean? I mean,
she released, technically speaking, I mean, she's responsible for like hundreds of thousands of deaths, you know, kind of thing.
Yes.
So
I'm just talking about that moment. You know what I mean?
That moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, also, I mean, what she does so well. I mean, I believed her at that point too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I believe, I'll be honest with you, like, we're fucking up the environment so badly, I could believe somebody being that desperate enough that they would do something like that.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, yeah, to me, it's funny, the family drama initially, like, I was, like I said, I was kind of like, mad.
Yeah, yeah, me
but,
too.
It really did become more compelling. And then a better film critic than I, a friend of mine, Jeremiah, he didn't really care for it the first time, but then, like, he pointed out a piece of criticism that that he said he made him rethink it, and it was essentially stating that basically that the monsters in here are each, you know, sort of a psychological, a manifestation of each of the side characters' psychological, you know, states, you know.
Huh.
And that the that as the relationships fracture and fight, like, it's the monsters, you know, that the monster. And it's like, yeah, I mean, that's sort of what monsters always do. Monsters always do sort of reflect our inner psychological states. So I think it's kind of a, you know, what's cool is that, like, this movie definitely works, you know. Mm-hmm. Even, like, you know, even if you, even if it's not your, like, your thing or anything like that, it's still a good movie, and it works, and it, like, it's going to hit you on some level, you know.
Yeah,
you're either,
yeah,
going to be excited by it, or you're going to be like, oh, there wasn't enough monster. Yeah, but like, I feel like this movie really works, and I'm hoping it holds up, like, really well on rewatching. Like I said, I plan on rewatching it because I was just so sort of gobsmacked by all the kaiju fights that I was just like, I need to see that again. Did that just happen? Wait, did I just see that? You know, did I, like, you know, like,
yeah,
I felt like, almost felt like hyper stimulated in a way,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
The way that I used to, like, watching, you know, Godzilla movies in 16 millimeter, you know, like, it's just like, sure. Oh, it's, you know, it, so yeah, I really, this movie, like, I know the feeling that you went through, though. You're kind of like, oh, I don't know about this, and then yeah, that switch happens at some point, and it's probably different for different people through the movie, but yeah, once it's on, it's like, oh yeah, this is good.
Yeah,
I'm in the right hands. This is gonna be all right, you know. And by the end of the movie,
yeah, it's interesting to me because, I mean, like, let's face it, like, this is very much like Ra's al Ghul, Thanos, you know, I mean, the villains are sort of coming up with sort of the same plots, which is like, I very much have to, like, I have to destroy the human race to save it in a way.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, if you really want to dig deep down into it, her plot, her thing makes absolutely no sense. I mean, the human race is going to be extinct either by our own hand, or I'm just going to release monsters and do it. Like, she's like, the monsters will try and restore some kind of balance. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, no, that's not.
It doesn't.
Well, but
I'm with you. It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
No, it does in the sense of, look, it's happened before. Here's the thing. She's working for Monarch. Like, she knows the history of the world. She knows the way that it was before.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense for her specifically. It makes sense for someone else to possibly think that. But for her specifically, like, it doesn't work with her storyline. She doesn't have a history in it. She doesn't come from that. Her kid died from one of the monsters. Like, it just on, and then she fights against the monsters because she doesn't want her kid to die again. Like, it just doesn't fit with her. The guy that she's working with totally works. He's, you know, that's his mode, that's his mindset, that's what he's doing, that's the guy. Like, okay, cool, get it, no problem. He has no issues with it whatsoever, and it works. But for her, doesn't work at all. It just doesn't fit with her character.
No, like, I think it fits with the twist that they wanted to make. I mean, I think for her, like, you very much get the idea that she snapped. At some point, she kind of went bonkers. You know what I mean? At some point in the relationship with her and her husband and her family, something really broke down in her brain. And I feel that I can understand where Leod's coming from, because in the beginning, they're not necessarily establishing that. But when the turn happens...
When the kid is the most level-headed person in the whole movie. You know? And when she's at the beginning, and that beginning, she's like, I'm worried about mom. You know?
It still doesn't fit in the sense of, like, her kid died from one of the monsters, and yet she's trying to release the monsters.
But I don't think a break like that, like, I think that's what they established, that she had, like, some really, even though she's speaking reasonably and intelligently, and she has, like, an idea.
I don't know.
I think for her, I think that they established, like, oh, she had, like, some kind of really weird psychological break.
I feel like it would have made more sense if they had established it in a different way, not just that the kid, like, got...
We don't
see how the kid dies, but, I mean, it's just kind of, like...
You get the idea.
You do get the idea, but my point is, if they had established that it wasn't directly from the monsters, but rather because of, like...
I don't think she went crazy from... the kid's death.
I think
she went crazy from the sight of Godzilla.
I mean
it's a case of, like, looking into this thing that everything tells you, you know, shouldn't exist, and seeing it right in front of you. I think I'll go beyond that.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's what it did to her life afterwards. I think, you know, her husband started drinking, and, you know, the family just got fractured and splintered apart. I think like, it wasn't just the death of her son. It was sort of basically like how, beyond even the death of her son, there was no coming back from it. You know what I mean? Like, her family. But, like, even disregarding that, like, the plot, the idea of, like, I'm going to unleash monsters to reduce the amount of humanity so that I can extinguish it. Like, look, whatever extinction event is coming in 2050, which scientists are kind of predicting, like, society's going to fall apart anyway. I mean, real life scientists are like speculating this, you know. That's going to reduce the population. So for me, it's like, wait, so you'd rather do sort of like ripping off the Band-Aid than the slow burn? Is that where we're going here? Like, it just, her idea makes no sense. But,
well,
again,
yes, it does. Because, again, these things in this universe are fucking gods.
They are.
They're the original owners of the earth. You know what I mean? I mean, it very much makes sense in terms of her character and of what she's doing. And because you can't tell me that there aren't people out there right now who don't believe that, who aren't, you know, if anything, you know, the one person I didn't believe was kind of, although he was funny, is, you know, the Monarch character, played by Bradley Whitford, you know, who's just making a joke out of everything, you know, who's just like, you know, everything's, you know, like, hi, it's a punchline. It's like, nah, you know, it's not funny.
Well, and that is a little bit of the thing that I did miss in this movie. I mean, Bradley Whitford, he's a little bit wasted in this movie to me. I think he's, like, an amazing actor, and I felt like they could have done more with him. But there was a bit of, like, wit missing in this movie, humor, that, I mean, there were some sort of, like, punchlines here and there, and I did chuckle every once in a while, but there was a little bit of lightness missing. But at the same time, I'm also sort of like that type of person that likes very intense, sort of like, you know, I like my zombie movies to end with everybody dying. I like, you know, I like monster movies to, you know, so for me, this sort of thing, like, it's funny because, like, as the sort of climax went on, it was very much like it just kept going and like the destruction kind of kept went going.
Yeah.
And I could see how that could grind somebody down a bit. But I was like, oh, my God, like we're just going, like, all the way with this, particularly, like, towards the end. And I loved it. But to go back to your point about whether, you know, the plot makes sense or not, like, it's funny because, like, when she was revealing everything and she was talking about everything, A, she's such a good actress. Her delivery was so great and straightforward. She didn't do it over the top. She wasn't understated. Vera Farmiga, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but I've seen her in other stuff and she's great. But in this, she, like, her delivery was so dead on. But again, to me, for somebody who's like really nitpicky, this movie did something in my brain where I was like, I don't care. It doesn't have to make sense to me. Let's go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I get what you're doing and you're bonkers. And so like, okay, like that's all I need to know is that you're crazy. Like I don't, you know, she could have just been like blah, 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 on the screen and I could have been like, okay, great. She's totally, you know, and that to me was all I needed from, you know, that moment, you know what I mean? Because it very much, because I did need that sort of explanation about like, wait, why did she, you know, I mean, she almost killed her ex-husband. I mean, like, let's face it. I mean, I love that scene where the daughter's trying to run out of the back of the helicopter or plane and like to save her dad and use the orca and stuff like that, because I'm like, she seems to be the only one on the plane who's like, those people are gonna die and you didn't do anything, you know what I'm saying? And much to Paul's point, like, she's the only level-headed one at certain points. But like, you know, once that sort of thing, that explanation sort of gets into motion, to me, that was sort of like when everything kicked in. And the thing that I really loved about this the most too was sort of like the multi sort of layered, multi, you know, the inclusive sort of cast. You know what I mean? There's so many human actors in this movie. It felt very much like, and I don't know if it's a strength or a weakness. To me, it was kind of a strength. There were times where it was a little bit of a lull, but I really felt like a Towering Inferno kind of vibe, like where everyone had like a little piece of thing to do, you know, and again, like Poseidon Adventure, Towering Inferno, those are not great movies, but there's very much like sort of a dynamic in them where you would have like characters and they would say or do something, and it was like, okay, that's enough. Like, I got what I got from
you. Those old Irwin Allen disaster movies.
Sure.
And there is this is, I mean, sort of a throwback style disaster movie, you know, where, you know, it's for the most part, it's pretty bloodless, you know, but at the same time, the East Coast gets annihilated.
Yeah.
And no one will ever live in Boston for the next, I don't know how many hundreds.
No, it's going to sprout. No, it's going to sprout up again. Next time we see Boston, Boston's going to be paradise.
Yeah, exactly. That's how Boston will be rebuilt.
That's how radiation works. Yeah, right.
it's magical radiation, Leon. It's magical radiation.
Listen, it's like, well, you know what? It's so funny because Leon, you know, you're not wrong. Like, I cannot say that you are wrong in anything that you are saying.
No, he's absolutely right, but it doesn't matter because it's Godzilla.
I know. You know, that's my problem with this movie, I think, is I understand where you guys are coming from because, I mean, let's be honest, like a lot of these movies, you know, it's whatever nonsense, made up BS stuff, you know, and you have to just kind of go with it, buy it, and kind of like have fun with it, because that's what it is. I mean, you know, that's what Pacific Rim was. I mean, even the Avengers, like that's what these things are, right?
Sure. Yeah, they're spectacle for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I couldn't completely like go into this one for whatever reason. I don't know if it's I don't know what it is exactly. I don't know if it was just, it was at every single moment almost there was something little like that that just kept like annoying me, so that it just kept pulling me out, because, or if it was something else, I don't know, but for whatever reason I couldn't like just take that extra step and be like, awesome. Because, you know, when I watch Star Trek, I mean, like, it's, you know, science mumbo jumbo. Like, I get it, but I can totally buy into it. Here, I couldn't make that one extra step. And like I said, I don't know what it was.
It's so funny that you're saying all that, because I don't disagree with you. I was watching the movie and I was like, that makes no sense. And that's kind of dumb.
And they would sacrifice And I know that reality isn't the most important thing, but they would do it repeatedly in all kinds of places where you're like, you didn't need to do it. Didn't make that much of a difference. Like, even when the submarine's going down, right? Like, submarines don't tilt forward and dive like divers, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, but they had that shot to make it look like that. And you're like, that's not how that works. Like,
yeah. You're right. It's not how that works, but it does. That's how it works in Godzilla universe.
I know.
That's how it works in Godzilla universe.
Anyway,
it's so funny.
Like, you didn't have to do that visual. It still would have worked the other way. Like,
It's because they were traveling through the tunnel in the middle of the earth, man.
I know.
Oh my God, Neil Adams is going to be so happy with this movie. Oh, the whole hollow earth thing. Like, it's like, that was just great. Like, but it's funny, like, speaking back to like Bradley Whitford being wasted, like, they could have made that a little bit more of like a thing for him. Like he was obsessed with it, and then the payoff would have been bigger, right? Like, when it happens, and he's like, "See, I told you." It kind of like lands a little bit off when he's like, "Oh, I knew it." You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not
flat
as funny as it could have been. You know, and look, so like, it's funny because I watched this video the other day, and I don't know who the YouTuber is or who she is, but she makes these interesting movie critique videos, and she compared like the Spielberg War of the Worlds versus like Independence Day, right? And what's really funny is like Independence Day, I hate that movie. It is dumb. I feel like it is so dumb and I can't stand it. I didn't like it when I first saw it in the theater, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Independence Day is just dopey as hell to me. This is, I don't think it's on the level of that, but it has like dopey stuff in it. But for some reason, while I was watching it, I should be the guy that's like Leod, I should be the guy that's like, no, that makes no sense. No, that could have been done a different way. No, that plot twist is kind of, that plot thing doesn't make sense. Or like for me, the biggest thing is like the daughter sort of like running off to Boston and nobody notices that she took the, I'm like, yeah, right. Like, nobody's going to notice that the orca just disappeared and that the kid, you know, until like what, she gets to Boston State, you know, what was it? Red Sox, White Sox. I can't remember whichever stadium that she went to. Like, that makes absolutely no sense. But there was something here in the dynamics of like the directing where I was just like, okay. You know, like I just, for some reason, and I think that's the difference between me and Lehad, is like, I didn't feel like this was insulting my intelligence. You know what I mean? I felt like from the get-go, it was very much like, yeah, this is going to be a big, dumb movie. Let's go with it. You know what I'm saying? Whereas I feel like stuff like Independence Day or Michael Bay movies, they try and make them puff their chests up and be, you know, have the men be all like, and you know, and do like real, like they go into dopey stuff, like just beyond dumb, you know, where I'm saying like, really, you're going to upload a virus to the, like that, you know, but there was something about this that I just fell like right into the sort of dopey comic book universe that they're setting up. And I totally understand like your problem with it, Leon. And probably normally I would be in the same shoes as you, but there was something in this that I was just like, okay. Like, yeah. Okay, let's get to it. Let's get to it. And then when the monster stuff did, I mean, I was talking with people again today at work, and the one scene that just like I think I gasped was like when they pull away from the city and Ghidorah like reaches its wings out and stretches its head, and you've got like the full city, and like he's silhouetted and he shoots up the lightning. That was very cool visual.
Badass! There's a lot of very cool visuals in this movie.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh.
Like, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, just like all that stuff. Come on. Like, Mothra is sort of like the spouse of like, or the partner to Godzilla, and helps rejuvenate him and stuff like that. I was like, oh God, all right, fine, let's go. You know what I mean? I was just like, I mean,
apparently Mothra Ash is the ultimate pick me up.
Yeah. And you know,
it is because Mothra is magic.
You know, and I have
otherwise
to say,
otherwise known as nuclear power.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
it's magic nuclear stuff.
Yeah, I know.
It's the same way the spider. It's the same way the radioactive spider turns Peter Parker. I'm telling you.
Right.
Same. Mean, it's the same radiation.
Oh God, I love how Godzilla has to get supercharged by like a nuclear weapon. I love how he's basically like Superman and like sort of needs to be like recharged.
I was so worried they were going to make him solar powered at one point.
Oh God,
shows up, and before you know it's Mothra, and it's just like the sun peeking through. I was like, oh no, don't tell me they're making him solar powered.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, what a beautiful shot! Like when Mothra comes through the clouds, like it's so great. Like, and the thing is like I'm watching this movie. I mean, you guys know I had some questions, some problems, or I was very worried about the director before you know it started because he directed some big budget stuff that I have not been like sort of crazy about, like X-Men Apocalypse and what was Superman. Oh, he wrote Superman Returns. And I think he wrote X-Men. He wrote the story for X-Men Apocalypse. So I was a little bit worried about like where this movie was going to go. But there's something about it that I was just like, okay, you know.
What's funny in that scene where Mothra shows up, it is gorgeous. I think the visuals of it is fantastic.
Yeah.
But the seconds before that, when he's just going to take off to go, I forget where he's going to go. He's going to try and get his daughter back. I'm like, so the military just lets you take, you know, one of these planes whenever you want? Like, it's just like, just walk out and grab one? And
absolutely.
Once again, it's just one of those things where it's like at every stage, no matter what's happening, that's also happening. I'm just like, oh, that's, I don't know if it, why it's grating on my nerves so much.
Well, it's funny because like for me, I think I felt like the cohesion of whatever things that they were doing, I feel like Chain of Command just like there was so much chaos going on at that point. Like,
sure.
And normally that would bother me like, oh, you're just going to take a helicopter. And I did think that, but then I was just like, dude, the world's freaking falling apart. You know what I mean? Like, I think that, you know, just like in any sort of like apocalypse movie, like he's just like, yeah, I'm going to go find my daughter and you're going to fly me there. And there is no chain of command anymore. You know, it's just basically like chaos. The thing that I would love to mention too, is because you're mentioning the military. I loved all those actors. Like all those actors were like perfectly cast. They were terrific. They delivered their like one or two or three lines and like I got who they were and I just felt like they were great. Like there was none of this like, and to make another comparison, like Michael Bay, like you'll see these military guys and they're like, like these felt like real people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This took a lot of like, it's funny because it felt like a Michael Bay film, but it didn't act like a Michael Bay film. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like it gave you all the like all the really cool stuff about Michael Bay, which is like the team, you know, like Michael Bay is all about like groups of people working together, you know, but like this one didn't have necessarily like the like rah-rah America jingoism that, you know, if anything, this one's just like, yeah, America, you know, you're kind of responsible for this shit, you know? you know, it's coming home, you know, I mean, but it took a lot of, like, what makes Bay work and improved on it and got rid of a lot of the stuff that, you know, just gets on our nerves about Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, I just like again, I just feel like it's a big, silly, I mean, goofy movie that sort of like gave me everything that I wanted out of a Godzilla movie. I mean, there was, again, I'm like Paul, like I was actually people at work, the place that I work were like shocked because they were like, man, you thought that movie was going to suck. And now you're coming back and you're like, this movie's great. Like I actually said, like if a friend of mine wanted to go see it and I had time, like I'd go see it again. Like I would go see it again in a heartbeat. Like I'd go see a matinee or whatever, if, you know, if I had the time, because I was just like, so enjoying like the monster fights, and I, again, like with Liad, I do agree, like, some of the stuff was chaotic, but I think it was supposed to be, and I just bought into it. Like, I was just like, yeah, everything's crazy. Like, that bit where, like, Ghidorah picks Godzilla up and just, like, drops him, I was like, that was amazing! Like, and, you know,
and when I saw that, it was so funny, because when I saw that, I was like, okay, I know what's going to happen. As soon as he starts flying him up, like, I get it. And then he drops him, like, okay. And then they do the whole, like, fireball around him. Like, he didn't get that high. Like, what the?
Well, he was burning off his radiation or something. I don't know. He was like, I don't know what he was doing.
It felt like it was supposed to be, like, him going. It felt like he was.
Through the atmosphere.
Dude, it was atmosphere. But it was Super Saiyan. It was Super Saiyan Godzilla.
I know. Like, I know what was going on, but it just didn't, like, it didn't connect right for whatever reason. And I'm sorry.
No, I hope that someday that they make a Godzilla movie that connects for you, because, man, it feels terrific.
Right. Well, I mean, that bit to me was great, because you're like, Ghidorah has wings. Like, why doesn't he just pick him up? And he does that. And I was like, right. Oh, snap. I didn't think we were going to see that. You know what I mean? And,
because it's always, like, been so shitty before, too. I mean, you know, like, as cool as the Ghidorah design is, you know, like, when you're doing that with puppetries and wires and things, you're very limited and stuff. But, like, with this, also realizing that all these monster fights are motion capture too, you know, like, that those are actors that are going through all of that stuff.
I did not know that. I thought just like, see, oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is motion capture.
I did not know that. That's amazing. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Wow. So there are actual, like, monster performances on, like, a giant level. There were actually three different actors for King Ghidorah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Wow. I swear to God, like, Monster Zero, King Ghidorah. I mean, I always thought he was cool, like, as a kid, but, like, I was like, I need a Ghidorah action figure. I need, like, a toy right now. Like, I saw that thing, especially that one silhouetted scene, and I just thought he was, like, and I know he's, like, the villain, and, oh, my God, can we talk a little bit about the whole, like, when they explain his story and, like, why he doesn't fit in with everything else, and, like, he came from space and stuff like that, and, like, Godzilla is the guardian of the Earth. I was like, I love this. I was like, yes, give me the explanation. Like, I was just like, give it to me. I was, like, just sucking it in. I was like, this is so comic booky. Like,
terrific. Terrific source art, too, by the way, for all the monster stuff, you know? Yeah. Like, all the historic, you know, stuff that they refer to, you know,
the wall
paintings, that was all really well done.
I mean the movie was really well done in a lot of aspects, and the visuals were amazing, and so all the art related stuff was great.
Oh my God, like, I can't even just stop raving about Ghidorah, because I just, like, when that thing popped up, like, the very first time and he comes out of the ice, they did such a good job, and I was just like, oh my, like, I think everyone would have just crapped themselves. I would have just, like, I think, like, you know, the funny thing is, like, the beginning of the movie shows, like, Godzilla, and he's just attacked San Francisco, right? And there's that scene where the mom is holding the daughter when she's younger, and the daughter is, like, digging her head into her, like, and I'm like, I don't know if you recover from that trauma. I think you go, like, to a deep, like, I was very surprised that that character was, like, a functioning sort of teenager, because, like, that would have caused me as I think any kid, a level of trauma in the brain that you would just shut down. Like, you would not come back from that. Like, I thought that was, like, very intense, and that very much sucked me in. But, like, yeah, there were so many great, like, just for me, like, horrifying monster moments that were shot from the view of the people. And there were a lot of times where they get out of it and you're just like, yeah, there's no way you would have gotten out of that. But okay, fine. I mean, they should just call this Godzilla okay, fine for me, because
seriously,
I was just like,
I mean, even when they go to save the daughter at the what's it called?
The stadium.
At at the stadium, I'm like,
yeah, the ballpark.
Yeah, because a helicopter would totally be willing to land in this conditions.
Yeah, no, like, there's no way. Way. No, no, way. No, no, no. But you know, the scene that I loved at the end was when the wife pulls up and she's in the truck and she's like, come on, get in. And everyone's like looking at her like, what do we do? Like, what do we, like, I love that. Because I mean, it's basically at that point, it's like Bin Laden, like telling you to get in the truck or like Hitler. And I have to say that I love the way that her story ended up playing out. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, this character, by that point, I was like, if they pull some shit where she like saves the world and everyone forgives her, I'm going to be really pissed.
Yep.
And they did not do that. They were like, I was like, this character has to die. Like, and you can play it any way you want it. You could play it like that she dies a noble death or whatever. But I was like, if this character does not die, like in this moment, like, then I'm going to be pissed. And they gave me that. They gave me the, like, that made sense to me. You know what I'm saying? So like, there were so many times in this movie where I would be like, yeah, that kind of doesn't make sense. And then it would be backed up by something else that I was like, yeah, that played out perfectly. You know what I mean? And for me, it's funny because, like, I loved the mom's character. I thought she was great. The dad, I felt like it was a little one level through the whole thing, but I thought like she played all the ups and downs. And by the time you get to the end of her sort of arc and the finish of her story, which, you know, is sort of predictable, you know, as far as, you know, like, okay, yeah, she's going to turn, that's a little bit predictable, but in the end, when it all ended for that character, I was like, done, perfect, nailed it, you know, took the hammer, nailed it. I was like, great, because I needed that character to suffer some severe, dire consequence for what she did, you know what I mean?
Well, there was no coming back from that. I would have been really unhappy too if she had like had a truly redeeming story arc where it's just like, oh, she's fine, everyone's fine with her back. It's like, yeah, you just killed millions of people.
No, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, you just like all these people. And oh, I love the bit where she's like revealing the plan and then the daughter's like, at least let the people get out. And they're like, sorry, we gotta hit this button now or else, you know, the plan isn't gonna work. Like that bit for me was just great because you've got the kid basically, you know, in her naivete, you know, trying to be like, you know, can't we just let like, and you know, the mercenary's like, you know, hey, this was your mom's plan, you know? And oh, I love that dialogue too, where he's like, you came to me, like you, this was your plan, because again, it turns around the whole thing where you're like, oh wow. Yeah. Like it was her whole big thing. You know, that was great. That was some really great. I liked that. I mean,
there I liked that part too.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah, there was enough in this story where they hit the nail on the head with the human bits where I wasn't consistently rolling my eyes. But very much like Leah, there were points where I was like, okay, whatever. Can we just get to the monsters? And then we got to the monsters. Like, you know, and I was just like, oh, okay, you gave me. So, I mean, that's the thing is if you've ever been a, I can't imagine anyone who's ever been a fan of like Godzilla movies, like as we were as teenagers, not totally loving this movie, because I just felt like, look, I've revisited a lot of those old Godzilla movies as adults, and the human stuff fills up a lot of those movies, and they're very, and it's very dopey, and it can be very boring. Yep. And this movie succeeded in like sort of like taking it to another level. It's still dopey, but it's not boring. And that's the thing is like, I was having a discussion with someone and I was like, how did I not notice all that human stuff? Like when I was growing up, like I would, were they edited shorter or something? Because like when I was a kid, I was just like, great monsters, you know, but as an adult, I'm like, dude, there's all this kind of like talking going on. Like, I don't remember that.
Yeah. And they're horrible. I mean, there's really no plot to a lot of them.
Too. Yeah.
I remember. Yeah, literally, I had this conversation with my dad when I was 8. You know, I made him watch, I think, Destroy All Monsters. And, you know, I'm like, and he was just like, this isn't good. This has no plot. And I'm like, but dad, it has Godzilla. You know? I mean, like, that's,
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to say, like, My final thing is, like, if like I just said, if you ever loved Godzilla movies and you want some giant kaiju bash them up in the theater, and oh my God, I have to say, see it on the biggest screen you can see it, sit in the back of the theater and just find the best sound system that you can, because I saw
it. I disagree.
Oh, really?
I agree with everything you said except for sit in the back of the theater.
Oh, no.
I say sit a little more close, like mid-theater. That way they're really big and towering over you, so you get that sensation of, like, giant monsters.
Oh, you don't think, like, the action would get lost in the chaos, Liad?
If you sat too close, yes. But if you sit, like, midway, I'd say it's probably fine.
Oh, okay.
I saw Spider-Man third row from the screen. That was horrible. But midway is good.
I saw this third row from the screen. It was terrific.
Oh, really? That's so funny. Yeah. Well, either way, find a theater with the best sound, because I saw
it
on
the sound
screen.
The sound is amazing.
Oh my God. Like, yeah, the rumbling of the seats and everything. It's just, like, fantastic. I don't know. I loved this movie. I guess I did love it. And, you know, those little, because people may not know, but, like, I'm always, like, on my Facebook page, like, by the end of the year, like, I'm always making, like, little lists of movies that, like, were, like, my favorite every year. I mm-hmm. never post them anyplace else but for my friends. And this, like, is in the top three right now. Like, I was just, like, I must have loved it because I think, like, there's a part of me that wants to deny my love for it because there was so much dopiness in it. And somebody could be like, well, how do you hate Independence Day but love this? And I'm like, I don't know, man, there's a difference. You know what I mean? There's just a difference in the way this was constructed, you know, that I just felt like it didn't speak down to me. I felt like it felt like a roller coaster ride. Like, we're going on this, we're going to do this. And then once it sort of kicked in, I was like, okay, like, yes, I'm all in. I will take what you're giving me. Oh, what? Ancient Atlantis sub kingdom? Yes, that's fine. Oh, we have to blow up a nuclear bomb to recharge Godzilla? Yes, that's, I'm in. Yep. I don't care. Oh, like, you know, Mothra blows up and the Mothra glitter helps Godzilla in the final act of the, I'm ready to go. You know what I mean? Like, I it was like hook, line, and sinker. And I cannot tell you why. I hope that it holds up on repeat viewings, but I really enjoyed it. Any final thoughts on Godzilla King of the Monsters? Oh, you know what? We didn't even mention, like, the whole dynamic of Godzilla, like, what he is, like, the king of the monsters. Like, yeah. I love that. I love how they set up sort of, like, a little mythology that he was, like, that's why he's the king of the monsters. You know what I mean? Like, it was silly and comic booky, but I loved it. I was just like, oh, this is why he's king, not just because he can kick the crap out of everyone, right?
Yeah. I dug that to, you know, especially in, you know, it spoiled the whole movie. I mean, that final shot, you know, where he's just, you know, there and all the other monsters are, like, bowing down. It's like, yeah, you know, I loved it. I loved that.
So great. So great. All right. Any other final thoughts on Godzilla King of the Monsters before we sign off?
No, I would only say go see it. Go see it.
Yeah, go see it.
Totally, definitely worth seeing in theaters.
Yes, I see it. I think this is a big screener. Like, I really
do.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you miss this on the big screen and then see it at home, man, I really feel like it would diminish a lot of the enjoyment.
Yeah, yeah. I loved it. I seriously enjoyed it. It's complete chaos. It's dopey. It's silly. Some of it makes no sense, but God damn it, it's Godzilla. And it's a Godzilla movie I've been waiting since I saw Matthew Broderick version, where I was like, oh my God, how could we keep screwing this? How could we screw this up so badly? But yeah, no, I'm so glad that, yeah, that I had a great time, because I fell in love with it. Like, it's the thing I've been waiting for. And I love Shin Godzilla, but I love this in a different way. Like, it's just, and for God's sake, like, this has me jazzed for Godzilla versus Kong, or Kong versus Godzilla. Like, I'm like, so excited for that. I can't even tell you. And it's going to be a different director, which makes me nervous. But I hope that this new director does not F this up. Please do not, because this director did a really good job with this, I think.
Who's doing Kong versus Godzilla?
Well, this is Michael Dougherty, and I think who is doing Kong versus Godzilla?
I'm looking it up right. Oh, it's Adam. We're in good hands. It's Adam Wingard.
Okay, I do not know his work, but
director
I looked him up.
Director of Your Next, VHS, The Guest. Yeah, he's cool. I think he's a terrific choice for this.
Okay, awesome. Great. Okay, well, this has been the Part-Time Fanboy Godzilla King of the Monsters episode. I am Christian Horn. I have been on the line with my good friends Paul Edwards and the returning Liad Goldberg. It's always wonderful to have you here, Liad. Thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been a great chat. You can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that great stuff. Our email is ptf@parttimefanboy.com. You can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and yeah, all those wonderful places. So and Google Play Music as well. That is a new addition. So we have all these different places where you can listen to Part-Time Fanboy. We will be back soon with another episode. Thank you as always for listening. And that's it. Godzilla King of the Monsters kicks mighty monster ass. Bye.
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 And you can quote me on that. Nice.
Part-Time Fanboy.
Part-Time Fanboy doing my thing.
I'm doing part-time. Part-Time Fanboy.